Shalom. Good morning.
My name is Joseph. My father was Jacob. I'm of the tribe of Judah. I was asked to come here this morning to talk to you on what you have designated as Father's Day. We really didn't have a day set aside like this in our Jewish culture to honor fathers, but this is a good opportunity to come together and to honor those who have helped raise us, honor those who have taught us so much in our lives and been such trustworthy, faithful fathers and friends in our lives. I really don't know what it is that makes me so special to be able to come and try to bring you something this morning, but I will try my best as we look at my story, the story of my family. I have a family just like many of you do. I'm married to a wonderful woman named Mary. I have many beautiful children. The one that most of you probably know best, however, was named Jesus. It's an interesting story. I won't say that it's a story like everyone else's because I know it's a little different as we think about the story of how my family came to be and what it meant to all mankind. It's kind of funny in that way because it almost didn't happen to begin with. Mary and I, as young individuals, were betrothed. That is, we were promised to one another, basically what you might call an engagement. As we were betrothed to one another, we weren't technically married. We hadn't gone through the ceremony yet, but we were promised to one another, and we were set aside for each other, and we were to be married, and we were to be a family. After that had happened, as it happened that one day, I didn't know this at the time. I heard this later on from Mary. As it happened, just a few months before we were to be married, Mary had a visit from an angel. And this angel of the Lord came to her and basically told her that she was to bear a son. And she was to call his name Jesus, and he would save his people from their sins. He would save all mankind from their sins. And this child was to be born of the Holy Spirit. It was not my child. And as Mary heard this, and as she listened in bewilderment and awe to the angel as he told her this, she was quite understandably shaken. And as she tried to cope with that, well, she went in haste to go see her cousin Elizabeth and to stay with her. We learned later that Elizabeth herself had had this visit from an angel as well to say that she would have a child, and it would be the herald of my child, of God's child. And he would prepare the way for this Jesus to come and to save his people. And she left kind of rapidly, quickly, in the middle of the night. She left with haste, and she went all the way to Judah. We lived in a small town called Nazareth in Galilee. And as Mary dealt with what she'd heard from this angel, she went and she ran with haste to go see her cousin Elizabeth. And she stayed there for some time with Elizabeth as they both prepared for this time which they would have children. Now, you've got to understand how troubling this was for me as my betrothed, my promise, my bride, just all of a sudden got up and left. And as she comes home to, I've got to say, my shock and my surprise, to the surprise of everyone, she comes back and there was no hiding the fact that she was pregnant. I knew it was not my child. I had not been with my betrothed. Such a thing in our culture, while it is rampant today, and it's everywhere today in the culture here in this world, in our world, it was not looked on very well. And it was not a good thing. It was not a happy time. And it frightened me. It shamed me, I have to say. And it scared me a little bit. And we Jews, we have provisions in our law that happen like this. I had the opportunity. I had the ability, and no one would have stopped me. I could have had Mary put to death. I could have had her stoned. But you see, I loved her. I loved her so much. And I decided in my heart not to put her family through this, not to put her through this. And I was just going to put her away. I was going to quietly divorce her and just let us go our separate ways. I almost didn't have a family that I was blessed with. Funny thing happened, though. As I was planning this, I was going to get up in the morning and go see the council and have this done. I had a dream that night. I can't tell you what the dream was about. I can't tell you what all happened, but there was a point at which in my dream that night, an angel appeared to me, an angel of the Lord. And this angel, I can't tell you how I know, but I know this angel was from the Lord. He came to me and he told me that I should not divorce Mary, that I should not put her away, that I should go ahead and marry her, that I shouldn't be afraid to do that. Because the child that she carried was from the Holy Spirit. And she had not been unfaithful to me, that she had not cheated on me. She was with child, with the very Son of God. And that I was to raise him. And I was to be his father here on earth. I can't tell you how I knew. I just know that this message came from God. It was an angel of the Lord. And he told me to do this. And so with that one dream, with that one vision I had of this angel of the Lord, I put away all plans to get rid of Mary in my life. I put away all plans of secretly divorcing her, of trying to quieten this down, this shame that apparently had been brought on both our families. And I took this as an opportunity in our lives together to bring us close. I cannot tell you it was an easy choice. I cannot tell you there wasn't heartache and pain that went along with this. To know that I was raising a child not my own, and yet at the same time loving him so much as I tried to be his father. And we had a life together, a family. Yeah. Things went on, and as Mary was still with child, she was about to be to the time to deliver. Of course, something comes up. We heard about this new taxation coming down from our Roman leaders, our captors, and I had to return to Bethlehem. That's where my family's from. You see, we're of the lineage of David, and our family home was back in Bethlehem. Granted, all these taxes, everything that had gone on, we'd long ago had to sell our property just to pay all these taxes. We were not very rich. We were very poor people. I worked as a carpenter. And I provide for my family in that way. But this taxation came about, and it was decreed that we must return to the homes of our ancestry. And so I had to return to Bethlehem. And I decided to take my wife with me, my young bride, Mary. And we traveled, and there were many people going. You wouldn't imagine the crowds there were as you went along in the caravans. And as we got to Bethlehem, of course we had no family home to go to. We had no land to go to there, for we'd had to sell it, of course. But as we went around, I think we underestimated the amount of people that would be there. Because we went and we tried to find lodging. We tried to go to the inns that were there and to find a room. Mary was very much with child. It was almost that time, and it was very important that we find a place for us to be that night. Unfortunately, because we had misjudged so much, because there wasn't enough room for everyone, we had to go around the back to the stable there where all the animals were. And there were people all around us even there. We stayed there inside that stable in the hay, a soft enough bed. As we settled in, it quickly became apparent that this baby was not going to wait. This baby was going to come, and it was going to come tonight. I looked around at my surroundings, and I've got to tell you, it's nothing like I pictured it to be. When I thought of the birth of our first child, when I thought of what I would be able to do and provide and be there for that child, as I looked around at a stable, sleeping on hay, surrounded by smelly animals, it's not what I had in mind. It's what God provided. And sure enough, the baby came that night. We had nowhere else to go. We had nowhere else to place him. And so we wrapped him up in swaddling clothes. Mary laid him in the manger there where the animals fed. I've got to admit, as a human being, I was a little ashamed at that moment. But I was so happy when I looked down at the face of that child. Its quietness, its calmness. The love that showed in his eyes even then. Regardless of whether this was from the Holy Spirit, this was my boy. This was my child. And I loved him very much. The festivities of the evening weren't over then, however. As we were sitting there, we were admiring our new son, this gift from God, literally. These shepherds again, running into town, and they came and they came to the stable where we were. I was worried at first that we might be in their stable, and they might be upset that we had taken refuge where we weren't welcome. But they had nothing to do with that stable. As they came in, they were shouting and yelling something about an angel they had seen out in the fields while they were keeping their flocks. Wanting to see our baby boy. They had been told that he was born by angels. And they came in out of the fields and they began to tell everybody about this. And it was so strange and awe-inspiring at the same time. I really don't know how to explain everything that happened that night. And as I think about it, even now, my heart's filled with joy at the birth of Jesus and with wonder at all that happened. After the eighth day, of course, we were dedicated to the law of Moses, and we followed it as we were supposed to as Jews. After 8 days, we took him up to the temple, as was the custom, as was necessary according to the law. And then, even there, we were surprised as these two older individuals, a prophet named Simon and his wife Anna, came and they began to speak to us about our child. And they were so happy to see him, as if they had been waiting on him, as if they knew he was coming that day. And we took him up and we had him circumcised, and we did everything according to the law as we were supposed to. We returned back to Bethlehem. We were still staying there at the stable. And an even stranger thing happened. I can understand maybe shepherds. I can understand maybe priests, because they were all around us each and every day. But these individuals from countries, I don't even know where they are. They looked to be kings. They were dressed in fine robes. They were wearing fine jewelry, and you could tell they were wealthy people. They were important people from wherever it is they were from. And they came looking for Jesus. They brought him gifts. Gifts we never could have afforded ourselves. Those gifts that went so far to provide for our family at a time when we needed it. As we were waiting there in Bethlehem before we returned, so that Mary could get her strength and the child could get to a point where it could travel and we could go back to our home at Nazareth. I couldn't work as I cared for them, and that those gifts really helped us as we tried to begin our life together, to begin our family. The interesting thing is, after those wise men left, those foreign kings left, you're not going to believe it, I had another dream. another angel of the Lord appeared to me, and he told me that we had to leave. And I was ready to leave anyway, but he said we couldn't go home. He said we had to go down to Egypt because Herod was in charge of the area at that time, and he had heard about this Son of God that had been born, and he was looking to kill all the Hebrew boys that were born and to protect Christ, this Jesus, this boy. We had to leave until he was gone. The angel told me not to be worried, but he told me to take my child and to flee down to Egypt and to stay there until Herod died so that Jesus would be safe. Now, you've got to understand something. I'm a man. And at this time, men were the protectors. Men were the providers. And my job as a carpenter was what kept food on our table. Our life there at Nazareth, as hard as it may have been, it was our life. And it was the life that we had chosen for ourselves. It was chosen for us. And I've got to admit, as a human being, it was hard for me to give up that. I had dreams of opening my own shop, of providing carpentry services to everybody there in Nazareth and maybe in some towns all around there. I was really had this plan. And I've got to tell you, when this angel came and told me that we had to go to Egypt, I kind of threw all that up in the air. That it didn't take but the beat of a heart for me to look at my boy and to put my dreams on hold for him. Because he was so important that this had to be done for him. Family comes first, after all. And so we got our things together, and we went down to Egypt. We found a caravan, and we went down to Egypt, and we stayed there for a year or so. You know, as hard as it seems in your mind as you think about going down and doing this, actually going through it, now as I look back, it doesn't seem like that long, but we endured that. We went down there. We lived among people we didn't know. And I tried my best, and we made our way. We made our life. Eventually, Herod died. I knew this because another angel came to me in a dream. And he told me that Herod was dead. And he told me that it was safe to go back home. We were all very happy. We were enjoying ourselves, as you know. I mean, we were a family. Even as long as we were together, it was all right. And we were providing for what we needed. But at the same time, there's nothing like home. And we were so happy to hear that. And so we got everything we had together. And we went back to Nazareth. We're able to come back home, able to set up our lives again, to get back on course, if you will, and to begin raising our family. We had more children by now, of course, but Jesus was still our first. He was still my boy, my little boy. I tell you, one of the biggest scares of my life, we had gone up to Jerusalem from Nazareth that one year, as we did every year, and we had given our sacrifices there. We had done what we needed to according to the law. We were leaving, and in the haste with all the people around, Jesus wasn't with us. We just kind of assumed that he had been with some of his cousins, some of his friends in the caravan, and so we went on. That was a common thing for the kids to be with one another and play there as the adults went on. They were always there, though. But as we began to look around, it came supper time. It came time to be with our son, to be together as a family, enjoy a meal together. We began to look around, and we couldn't find Jesus. We became so worried, so heartbroken, so scared as we thought, what could have happened to our son? Where could he be? Fast as we could, we gathered our things and we left the caravan behind, and we ran as quickly as we could back to Jerusalem. It had been over a day. We searched the city everywhere we'd been. Finally, of course, the last place we stopped was the temple. As we got there, we sure enough, there Jesus was. He was a boy of 12. Sitting there, surrounded by priests, surrounded by the scholars of our nation, carrying on a conversation as if he was one of them, as if he was just as old as they, if he had studied just as much as they had. And we were so worried, and we just ran to him and grabbed him and wrapped our arms around him, and we scolded him for scaring us so bad. And he told us, and I'll never forget it, "I must be about my Father's work." And I thought, you know, as much as I've tried to instill in him, as much as I've tried to teach him, there's a wisdom coming out of what he's saying that's far beyond what I could give him. We went on about our lives. We watched as Jesus and our other children grew, and oh, he grew up tall. He became a man. He was so wise, so good with his hands. He was a proper Jewish boy, but he was still my little boy in my eyes. You know, I died before my son began his earthly ministry. I watched intently from heaven. I must say, I was quite surprised, and yes, at times I was shocked by the things I saw and heard from my little boy. I watched his power. I watched him heal the sick people, take their diseases away. I saw him give sight to the blind. I saw him lift up people who'd been lame all their lives and allow them to walk again. I saw his power. He even raised little Lazarus back from the dead. I was so amazed. I watched his wisdom. So much that came from my little boy that I couldn't believe. He couldn't have gotten that from me. There's somewhere else that he got that wisdom from as he taught. Things that even the teachers of the law couldn't understand. Even the teachers of the law couldn't get and couldn't see. My boy brought him out. I saw his wisdom. I watched his arrest. I watched what they called a trial. And I saw him crucify my little boy. In horror, I saw him beat him and mock him. I cried out, but I couldn't do anything to help him. But you know, in that moment, I finally knew what his purpose was, why God had blessed us with this little boy. And I knew it was for the good of all mankind, but that didn't dull the pain any as I watched it happen. It didn't make it any less hard to go through. He was still my son, and I was still his father. And I watched that happen. I watched him die. And in 3 short days, I saw him rise in glory. What a sight that was to behold. You don't know how my heart was lifted in that moment, and I realized, you know, in seeing all that, my greatest dream for Jesus, my boy, had just come true. Success. He was a success. What father doesn't have at least these 3 dreams for his children? A loving family to be there, to surround them, to encourage them and teach them and lift them up. To be there to protect and provide security and hope for his children from whatever comes against them. And success and all of life's purposes for them. You know, as I think about my life, the dreams that I had for myself, some of them didn't happen. But you know what? The ones that did, the ones I wasn't expecting, they were so wonderful. My life didn't turn out like I wanted it. I raised a child who technically wasn't mine, but I tell you what, that was my child. That was my boy, Jesus, just as much as any of my other children. And I loved him as my own. You know, not all of us enjoy that happiness of a loving family to surround us here on earth. That's why God, through my boy Jesus, came up with a plan to give us all that family. You see, he called it his church. We're all brothers and sisters in this church, in this body, in this family. And even the things that sometimes we may not be able to get here on this earth, we can get in that family. There's not protection, there's not security at all times for each and every one of us on this earth. But you know what? There is protection, there is safety in the arms of God. And protection that's possible for each one of us because of what Jesus did. My dreams didn't all come true for what I thought my life should be. For a lot of people in this world, their dreams never come true for what they think their lives ought to be. I've heard someone say that life is what happens while you wait for your plans to fall into place. Life's what happens when you wait for everything you've been looking for to take place. It wasn't the life I had planned. It wasn't the life I'd chosen, but it's a life I wouldn't give anything else for. To be there, to protect my children, to love them, and to see them succeed in everything they attempted. I may not succeed in everything in this life, but because of my boy Jesus, I can succeed with God. Our Heavenly Father wants for each and every one of us to be His children, just like Jesus was. Our Heavenly Father wants us to be blessed, just like His Son was. Hopefully, each and every one of you want that for your lives. Think about the loving family of God that He's provided for us. Think about the protection and watch care He gives us as His children. Think about the only possible success we can have because of what my Jesus endured.